Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. If you're a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you, and there's a few different ways we can do that. One, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you would like to fill that information out, and you can leave it in the pew or leave it in the offering plate, whichever your preference might be. It's a way for us to connect, know who is with us today, worshiping with us. We just want to say a special thanks for being here. Also, if you'd prefer, you can go online. If you've joined us online, you can do this as well. Go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. You can click that button, fill that information out. And again, it's just a way for us to know who's worshiping with us, and there's opportunities to let us know how we might be able to serve you and or your family. And so again, thank you for being here. I'm excited about worshiping together today. I want to make you aware of a couple things that are happening or coming up in our church. And so first of all, there's needs in the food pantry for the food pantry that are listed there in your bulletin. But then our trunk or treat is coming. It is happening next Sunday evening. So next Sunday evening is our annual trunk or treat. This is an awesome event that we get a chance to see and meet and be with a lot of folks from our community. We normally have a great turnout, and we're advertising and promoting that and using social media to do that. So I'll just give you a shameless plug. If you'll get on Facebook and join that event, share that event, whatever it is you can do to help us with that. That's a great way for us to let the community know that's happening, and we're letting area schools know and all that sort of thing. But our biggest need, most pertinent need right now is candy. Thank you so much for everybody who has brought candy. Very grateful for that. And it just takes a lot of candy for that to happen. I think, best I'm guessing, just looking at what we've had, all that sort of stuff, we're probably about halfway to where we need our candy, if that. So we need about 30,000 pieces of candy. We're maybe somewhere around 15,000 or so. So if you're able to do that, to be able to help us in that regard, if you could, if it's possible in the first part of the week, if you're able to get that and bring that by the church office, that'll really help us. Because as we get later in the week, I'll get an idea where we're at and look to go and purchase more. So that's one of our needs. And then also, next Sunday evening, many of you have signed up, and we've got you in place. If you're still looking for a place to serve, we will have plenty of opportunities to be able to do that. And then we're going to need some help early to set up some bounce houses and just do some general setup for that. And so be watching and email or whatever it may be for information about if you have a trunk, what time you need to be here, and all that sort of information. We'll get that out to you. If you have any questions about that, first part of the week, you can reach out to me or Pastor Jonathan or the office. Later part of the week, some of that team will be gone, but you can reach out to me and I'll get you the information. And then next Sunday morning, what I'll do is right after, especially some of our men that might be able to come help set up those bounce houses and some tables and things, we'll meet quickly right after service. I'll let you know what time to be here and what all needs to be done. And so we'll do that briefly following next Sunday morning's service. So trunk or treat is coming. Hope you make plans to be a part of that, and just excited about what the Lord's doing. As always, note our Wednesday night activities, a lot of things going. Love for you to come be a part of that. We have adult prayer meeting, and so whether you have a child or student involved in one of the other ministries going on, we have adults that gather together in here to pray. Or if you don't have children, you just want to come, we'd love to have you and just be a part of that. The Lord's doing some really cool things across our nation and just seeing God at work. And so I believe it's of vital importance for our church to get together and pray and ask God to do really what only He can do. And so this morning, as we get ready just to try to set the tone, prepare, and be ready to worship the Lord this morning, this particular verse at the end of Psalm 150 came to mind, but I thought I'd read the psalm. It's only six verses. This is what it says. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's join together in prayer. So if you bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment, as we just want to try to ready our heart and prepare that we may be able to praise the Lord this morning. I don't know if struggling or just having a hard time this morning or busy or whatever the case is, that just take whatever it is to the Lord and bring it to Him, confess it to Him, and just lay it before His feet. Ask Him to help you to focus and keep your eyes on Him this morning. God in heaven, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. God, thank You for how You love and care for us. And God, I pray that You would give us grace this morning to focus on the words that we're singing, and that we would use the breath You've given us in our lungs to praise You, Lord Jesus. And that, God, You're worthy of our praise and our adoration. God, minister to us, meet us. Lord, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. I pray, God, You would do exceedingly above all that we could ask, imagine, or hope for. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's stand and sing about being in the house of the Lord. Continue to praise our great and wonderful God as we sing, "Great are You, Lord," because it is His breath in our lungs. Amen. He is the one who got us up this morning. He is the one who breathes life into our very beings, because in Him we live and move and have our being this morning. Let's continue to sing to Him.
Light to the dark.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of John? John chapter 1 and beginning in verse 18. John 1 and verse 18. I don't know if you ever had any of these moments, maybe as a child, but if you were as well behaved as I was, you had these moments. And so I don't know if as a child, some of you got that, some of you didn't. It'll process a little bit, all right? But as a child, maybe it was your mom or dad or maybe your grandma's house, somebody's house, and something was broke, something went wrong, and you and maybe your siblings or cousins or whatever it is in the other room, and mom or dad exclaimed, go, how did this get broke? Who did it? And like the responsible young man I was, it was always not me. Until there was substantial evidence, it was not me. I was denied. It was not my fault. Some of you are grinning. You can identify with that, or maybe you have kids, and some of you are like, I don't know. You were good kids. You wouldn't understand. So, broke things, whatever, and me being the youngest, I normally got blamed for that. I went to seminary with a friend of mine and became really good friends with this guy named Mac. And so Mac was telling me one time, him and his brother, just a couple years apart, and they were pretty wild as kids, and they were always blaming each other and what have you. And Mac is telling me, he said, man, one time we were at my grandma's house for Easter Sunday. Everybody had their Easter best on and the fool's ray of food and all these kinds of things. And he said, at that time, my grandmother had a well out back, and she went to the well, got some water to bring inside the house, and she was well advanced in years, and she had fallen behind their house and probably broke her hip. And so all the adults, everybody got her, took her to the hospital, and left my friend Mac and his older brother Brad at grandma's house. And Mac said, I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the way, all the Easter eggs that they had been decorated, and, you know, real deal eggs, all that been decorated, prepared for the Easter egg hunt, well, they're gone. Somehow, Mac said, me and my brother started throwing these at each other in grandma's house. And he said, you know, my brother was older than me, and he said he was definitely smarter than me, because at some point, Brad realized this was not going to go well. And at some point, parents were going to come home, and this was not going to end well for him. He said, so my brother somehow tricked me into the back room, which had a lock on the outside. And he said he tricked me into the back room, got me in there, ran outside, pulled the door shut, and locked me in there. And he said, then when my dad got home, he said, Brad met him at the door and said, Dad, look, Mac went crazy throwing eggs all over the house. I had to lock him in the back door to keep him from viewing it anymore. And Mac said, Brad never told the truth. He said, I got whipped like there was no tomorrow. He said, until we were adults, he never would confess that he was part of it as well. But he was denying. Brad was not it, right? And so this morning, I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, Not It. We're going to look at the Gospel of John. We're going to look at John the Baptist this morning. And so, as we often do, in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, and I know as you just sat, I'm going to ask if you would stand in the honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able. John 1, and beginning in verse 18. Verse 19. Now, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, said, no. And they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make the way of the Lord straight. As the prophet Isaiah said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for today. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would teach us from your word this morning. God, help us to hear from it and apply it to our lives. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I've titled this message, Not It, and if you're following along and wanting to take notes this morning, the main idea of the text is this, is you are not Jesus, but you are to make him known. See, we're really dealing, and I know this is a hot button issue, and we're not going to deal with it in a way that maybe you think about this morning, but we're going to talk about identity this morning, an identity of who we are in Christ, an identity of who God has called us to be, because John had to deal with his identity, specifically who God called him to be, who God created him to be. And so the main idea is that you are not Jesus, but we are to make him known. And it's very important for us to understand that we're not the Savior. We're not the one that saves people. We're not the one that changes lives. But when we know the one who does, we are called to make him known. It's part of our responsibility. It's part of our call. And so the question is, do you know who you are called to be? Do you know your purpose in this life? Do you know what God is doing in your life, where he has placed you, where he has put you at in this season of life? Why are you here this morning? Why is it you're at the job that you're at? You're living in the house that you're in. Do you know who and what God has called you to be and do? John had a very clear mission and purpose, and we're going to see that this morning. I want us to see the identity of John through three different truths from the text. And so number one is we must know who we are not. Who we are not. This is important for us to understand God's call on our life. Oftentimes we spend our times trying to be so many things to so many people, and we need to narrow our focus, and we got to understand who we are not. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, now this is the testimony of John. This is John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests, notice this, priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? It's the religious leaders that come and ask John who they are. Now, this isn't uncommon because they felt like the spiritual gatekeepers of the day and time. And so John had been out, he had been preaching, and they were curious who he was and what he was doing. Why was he creating such a following? Why were people listening to him? Why did he have the influence that he did? And so the religious leaders went to ask John, who are you? And I just simply ask you this morning, who are you? Who are you? Who are you created to be? Verse 20, he said, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. God had been silent for quite some time in this day and time. It had been hundreds of years since they had been around a prophet, 100 years since they felt like they had heard from God. And so here's somebody making a splash, if you will, making an influence. They are curious. They are wanting to know who he is, and they are desperately looking for the Messiah. But listen to the strength of what John says about John the Baptist, verse 20. He says, he confessed. He did not deny, but confess. Man, he is emphatic whenever he's describing this, that John made no qualms about it. Man, listen, there are times when people mistake us for somebody else, maybe somebody popular, somebody with influence, or somebody with position or authority. And if we're not the one with position of authority, man, sometimes it's easy to let people believe that maybe we got a little influence, we got a little impact, or maybe a little bit bigger deal than what we really are. John didn't do that. John didn't hesitate for 1 minute and go, hey, I'm not the dude. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the promised one. Look at what he says in verse 20, 21. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered and said, no. John knew really clearly who he was not. I just need to remind us this morning, man, you've got to understand the world will try to get you to fill all kinds of voids and be all sorts of people and all kinds of things. And we need to understand very clearly who we are not, as John did. Man, they ask about, are you the prophet? It was a fulfillment of what they had heard from Deuteronomy 18:15. He said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus. But we had already seen back in verse 8 in John 1:8, the Word of God makes clear, he was not that light, talking about Jesus, but was sent to bear witness of that light. We're going to come back to that. Hey, this morning, it's okay. We need to rest in and be set free this morning that you aren't the answer to everybody's problems. You aren't the answer to every issue going on in the world. There's freedom in that. And I get it. All of us could say it. But I think if we're to be transparent and honest this morning, that too often we try to be the answer for so many things that we really can't be the answer for. You try to be the answer for somebody's peace. You try to be the answer for somebody's comfort, somebody's strength. And you try so hard. And what happens is when you don't understand that you are not those things, you've got a burden on you that you cannot and you were never intended to fulfill. And the religious leaders were coming. They didn't understand John. They didn't understand what was going on. But John was effective in his ministry and what God called him to do because he knew who he was not this morning. Man, in his life and ministry, and we've got to see that this morning and understand it and apply it to our lives. And so, again, I get that all of us, man, if we took a quiz on the way in or the way out, going, yeah, I'm not Jesus. We know that here, but how many times do we try to act like, or we even get caught in a trap? And we get this burden on us that we're never intended to carry. You're never intended to hold and walk with. And so if we're going to know who God has called us to be, and we're going to fulfill the mission and purpose and what God has placed on our life, first you've got to know who you're not. Number two, we must know who we are. See, understanding all the stuff outside the box that God has created us to be, understanding all of this outside of this, that's not who we are. But now we need to zone in on and lock in on who we are. Look at John 1:22. It says, "Then they said to him, 'Who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?'" So they've gone through the motions of asking him who he is. Is he the Messiah? Is he the prophet? And he's denied. He is not any way, shape, or form confessing to that. So then they go, okay, well, who are you? We need an answer to know who you are. Verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." See, this is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40, prophesying that before the Messiah would come, this person would come. Verse 24, he says that now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize you if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" They had gotten the picture that he was really clear on who he wasn't, but John was also at this moment trying to paint a picture of who he was. John understood, he said, "I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." John understood this, he was not the one to walk on the red rolled out rug, but rather he was the one to roll the rug out. See, friend, we've got to understand this morning, you're not somebody's peace. You're not somebody's joy. You're not the answer to somebody's depression. You're not the satisfaction in totality in somebody's life. But dear friend, listen, you and I are called to introduce them to the one who is. You're the one to introduce them going, "Hey, listen, I am not these things, but I can tell you about the one who is. I can tell you about the one who will meet every need in your life. I can tell you about the one that will do things in your life you never dreamed of or imagined." John understood who he was not, but he understood who he was, and he was perfectly fine in that role. Here's what you need to understand this morning. You and I are never the hero of the Bible. God is. And let me help you this. No matter what happens in life, you're not the hero, the story of your life. If you are, then it'll be a really, maybe a pleasant life to some degree, but it won't be very satisfactory, and it'll be pretty short. And I love you in Jesus' name, and this will bless your heart today. They'll forget about you pretty quick. But if Jesus is the hero of your life, and he's the main character, then that changes everything. That means that your legacy and the impact you have will live far beyond your years this side of heaven. See, the Bible had prophesied in Malachi 4:5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Here's what they had thought. The religious leaders thought Elijah was going to come back from the dead and usher in this idea of the Messiah. And that wasn't the picture at all. What the Word of God was saying, there was going to be one coming like Elijah, one with power and authority, with the Spirit of God on him, and God using him in a similar way in which he did Elijah. And that's exactly who John was. So John said, "I'm not Elijah, but I'm the one that was called to go before Jesus." And so Matthew 17, Jesus says this about John. He says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has already come. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands.' Then the disciples understood he spoke to them about John the Baptist." See, the Word of God had prophesied that one like Elijah would come, and that was John the Baptist, and he was to prepare the way of the Lord, set that among them, to help them to be ready, help them be prepared. Verse 25 says, "And they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?'" They ask about his baptism. In that day, the Jews would baptize Gentiles whenever they wanted to take up the Gentile faith. But what was happening with John the Baptist is that Jews were being baptized. Why was he doing that? Because he was getting them ready, saying, "The Messiah is coming, Jesus is coming, and you need to be ready. You need to be prepared." He was the one that ran before. He wasn't the guy. He was the hype guy. He was the one getting them ready. And friend, you are not Jesus, but we are the one to run before him and proclaim him. Jesus said about John in Matthew 11:11, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those who are born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Why did Jesus had such strong words of affirmation and understanding of who John was and how God had used him? Because he understood that John knew exactly who he was not. He was not the Messiah. He was not the promised one. But he understood really clearly who he was. He understood that it wasn't his role to be in the headlines. He understood that he wasn't the one that the article was going to be written about. He understood he wasn't going to be the one celebrated. John was faithful. John the Baptist was faithful to know who he was and who he was not. And then the third idea I want us to see from the life and ministry of John the Baptist is we must know who we are proclaiming. Look what he says in verse 26. Or the Word of God says, "John answered, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose.'" What's happening here is John spent a moment saying, "Hey, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the promised one." Well, then who are you? Well, I'm the one that the Word of God says is going to come before Jesus to prepare the way. But then he takes a moment and says, "This is the one you need to know. This is Jesus." He says, "There's one standing among you that you don't understand, that you don't yet recognize." He's saying, "Man, you look around and look at my influence and look how great I am, all these sorts of things that are happening in and around me." He's saying, "And to be honest with you, I'm not even worthy to touch a sandal." Man, God was using John the Baptist. God was using him in an incredible way. God gave him a very prominent and incredible role to be the one that tries to prepare the way for the actual Son of God standing on the face of the planet, coming to redeem the lost. God gave him an incredible role, but John knew that it wasn't him that was great. It was Jesus, and he was to fulfill his work and his ministry that God had called him. Listen to me this morning, church, is that you are not called to be Jesus. You never can be, you never will be. But dear friend, we are to proclaim to a lost and dying world that there has been one who has come that you can know and you can save you and set you free and live a life of joy and peace and goodness and knowing that God is real and he walks with you all the days of your life. Man, we spend so much of our life trying to climb the corporate ladder. We spend so much of our life trying to grasp for and achieve the American dream. And listen, success and achievement, there's nothing wrong with those things. But friend, your identity is so much bigger than your job title. Hey, listen to me, mamas. Your identity is so much bigger than your title as mom. That's an incredible gift from God. But it's bigger than that. Wives and husbands and grandmas and granddads. I know some of you grandmas saying, don't you tell me my title not bigger than grandma. I know you love being a grandma. You love being a granddad. But your identity is so much bigger than that. God has given you such a time as this that you may know Him and you may serve Him. That we may know Him and make Him known. That's the mission on your life. And it begins with, do you know Him? Have you ever surrendered your heart and life to Jesus and given everything to Him? John 1:8, remember we read this a few moments ago. He says, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There's His mission, right? He's not Jesus, but He's sent to bear witness of Jesus. Colossians 1, 28 and 29, probably if you made me pick theme verses for the ministry that I believe God has called me to, this would be it. It says, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, notice what he says in verse 28, Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hey, listen, the bar is set high with the verse, and is that going to be fulfilled? No, Jesus said it wouldn't. He said few will be saved. But it doesn't mean that we settle for anything less than doing everything we can that every man, woman, boy, and girl in our city, in our state, in our nation, in the entire world may hear the gospel of Jesus. He said, Him we preach, talking about Jesus. How in the world is that even remotely in Paul's thinking when he writes this? Verse 29, he said, to this end also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. You know what he's saying? He's saying, man, as God works in me and the Spirit of God lives within me, it empowers me to do what God has called me to do. It is our responsibility to know Him and to make Him known. And understand that you're not Jesus, you're not God. You're not the one that's the solution to everybody's problem. You can't fix everything. You can't satisfy everybody. If you'll understand who you are not, it'll help us to better understand who we are. And we know who we are, then that gives purpose to our life, that we are to know God and make Him known. And friend, we need to give everything we have to fulfill that mission in our life. God has placed you at the address that you're at. God has given you the job that He's given you. God has blessed you with the kids or the grandkids. God has given you the spouse. God has given you this time and place now to fulfill that very thing, to know Him and to make Him known. He's given you the talents that He's given you so that you may use it, that others may come to know Him and He be glorified in your life. That He may be the hero of your story. Not me. Not you. There was a Christian comedian that did a bit called the Jehovah Bystander. And this is what he said. He's saying it tongue in cheek. He said, they asked me to be a witness, and he said, but I didn't want to get involved. And oftentimes we understand that God's called us to know Him and to make Him known. And man, even this morning, here in a little bit, here in a few minutes, we're going to gather some of our folks together that are getting ready to head to London that others may know Him better. And I get it. There's a lot of lostness. There's a lot of impact. There's a lot of need out there. But friends, Jesus is the only answer, and He's called us to go. He's commanded us to go. And so I don't know where you're at, what you're struggling with this morning. Maybe you're struggling, been under attack, because you're trying to be everything to everybody, and God never intended you to be that. And you just need some freedom this morning, and you need to give it to Him, saying, God, I can't be this. It is wearing me out. And you need to deal with who you are not, and be at rest and be at peace, that there's some things that you just can't fulfill, you can't satisfy. Maybe some of you struggling with knowing exactly where you're at, what season of life, and who am I, knowing that you're a child of God and what God wants to do in and through your life, but that you're not the hero of the story. Or maybe you've just been struggling with purpose and knowing, God, why have you placed me here? Why is this going on in my life? And real simply, and I realize there's some finer details, God has called you here that you may know Him and make Him known. And how is God wanting to do that in your life right now? And so I know it's not real elaborate this morning. It's nothing clever or fancy, but just wrestling with what is God speaking to your heart and to your life today. Here in just a minute, we're going to have a time of invitation. And that invitation is twofold. Number one, if you don't yet know Christ, part of your purpose being here is to know Him. Maybe God's drawn you in this morning. You really kind of got no idea why you're here. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, today is a day of salvation, is what the Word of God says. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person in here that hasn't sinned against a holy God. And so then you may ask, man, what does it take to be saved? If I wanted to be saved today, then what does it take? It takes two things. It takes repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, is what Acts 20:21 says. Repentance is I'm walking towards a life of sin, things I'm doing wrong, and it may not be, man, just what the world would say, this ugly, gross, you know, addict, all these kinds of things, but there are just some things in your life that you know aren't the will of God, things that are sinful, things you've done, and man, we need to turn from those and simply place our faith and trust in Jesus. That's what it takes for salvation. You're asking, man, what does it take for me to be saved? Repent and believe. Believe that Jesus came, He lived a sinless life, He died on the cross, He was buried, and He was raised from the grave, and He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Man, you don't have to have Genesis memorized, you don't have to love all the begats of the Bible, but if you'll simply repent and believe on Jesus, the Bible says you can be saved. That's the first part of the invitation. The second part is some of you, and you know that you know that you know, there's no shadow of a doubt in your mind that you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, but for whatever reason, you've been struggling with exactly who you are and what God's doing in your life. This is my challenge to you. Is, man, maybe God spoke to your heart, dealt with you about some things. Man, why don't we carve some time out of our busy time? And I realize, man, there's a lot of things we can rush out and do. Let's just pause a moment. We're not really good at this as a society. Pause as a part of a moment and go, man, God, what are you doing in my heart and in my life? There's some things I need to confess because I've tried to be you in some situations. There's some things that you're calling me to that I've been running from. Whatever it is, let's respond to what God is dealing with your heart and in your life. And so if you will, if you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment, we're just going to have a time, a chance to respond to Him. If you'd say, Pastor Chris, I've been asking what it takes. What do I need to do to be saved? Jesus has done everything it takes for you to be saved. He has provided salvation, and you just need to receive the gift of salvation. How do you do that? You repent and believe. You just pray right where you're at and ask God to forgive you. Turn from your sin. You invite Him. Say, God, I place my faith and trust in You. I believe all those things that the Bible says that You've come to do to provide salvation. You surrender everything to Him. Ask Him to be the boss and master of your life. You say, I don't know how to say that. I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer, but please understand, just because you repeat some words after me does not mean you'll be saved. But if your heart's desire is that you want salvation and you just want some help communicating that to God, then you pray, but you pray with every fiber of what you've got toward God that He may answer that and save you. You may pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Lord, I give my life to You. I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. And I'll be what You want me to be. I ask You now to save me. I give my life to You. Totally, and freely, and without reservation. I'm Yours. The second part of the invitation is maybe you know that you know you have a relationship with Him, but you've just been struggling in some areas. Here in a minute, I'm gonna pray for our time of invitation. And what that means is it means it's open for you to respond. It's open if you want to come and pray. If you want to turn around and pray right where you're at in the pew, maybe you just bow your head right there and spend time praying. Maybe you need somebody to pray for you. When I get done praying, you come. Say, Pastor Chris, man, I just need somebody to pray for me today. I'd love to pray for you. As you remain in attitude of prayer, here's the other part of what this means. If you just prayed to receive Christ, when I say amen, then I'm going to challenge you to get up out of your seat and come. Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me this morning. It's the single greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. You need to share it with somebody this morning. I want to be the first person to hear about it. So when I say amen, if you prayed that, or maybe you have in the past, you just hadn't said anything to anybody, you come. When I say amen in just a moment, you move however the Lord has led you and spoke to you this morning. Jesus, we thank You for today. God, I thank You for who You are and for what You've done. God in heaven, I pray that in the next few moments we'll respond to You. God, I pray those that have prayed to receive Christ, haven't told anybody, or just got saved this morning, God, I pray that You give them boldness to come. Slide out where they're at and come. God, I pray for others struggling with who they are in You and God, who they're not and what they're called to do. I pray, God, You would help us to seek Your face in this moment, God, that You would speak to us clearly. God, You would move in our heart. Help us to confess what we need to confess. Help us to encourage others where we need to encourage. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You remain in attitude of prayer. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you come now. conclude our service in just a minute. We're going to gather up around a few of our folks that are headed to London this week, and I'll say just a word about that and in just a moment. Before we do, as we leave today, we have an opportunity to give to the Lord what He's first given us, and so we have offering plates as we leave today. And part of the reason why we do that is it's an opportunity for us to continue our time of worship as we leave. And so, opportunity to give. We never want anybody to feel obligated to give. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And so we want our folks to be able to give in a cheerful way, give back to what He's first given us. It's all His anyway, and so it's just an opportunity for us to give. And your regular tithes and offerings are so gracious. I mean, we're seeing a picture of your giving at work this morning when we gather part of the mission team that is going, helping to support in the work and the ministry that's happening there. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Jonathan and Linda, and has Michelle made it in yet? Hey, there she is. Boy, you're good. All right. I'm going to ask if y'all would come, and they're going to join down front. So these three, along with a few others from our area, are headed to London. Those of you who remember Brant and Kara are serving there, and they are bringing missionaries in from the area there that have been on the field for just a few months, honestly. They're coming in. The missionaries, the parents, are coming in for training. But obviously, they've got kiddos, and these families have not been on the field long. And so they are entrenched. They are neck deep in language school for most of them. Some of the kids have been in school, and the only time they get to speak English is when they're at home. And they've been there 3 and 6 months. And so this is kind of trying to help them get to see one another and get a little bit of some normalcy, some familiarity. But our team is going, partnering with a church out of Florida to provide some vacation Bible school type learning for a few days there, and just really love and minister on those kids. These families have sacrificed so much. I mean, they're fulfilling what we're talking about this morning, right? That they have gone across the world that others may know Jesus. And so they've given. So our team is going to minister to those. I mean, they're going the picture is trying to hold up the hands, hold up the arms that they may continue to fight and serve the Lord. And so anyway, so be praying for them. They will be leaving this week and then going for right at a week is how long they'll be gone. So be praying for them as they fly and travel and all that sorts of stuff. So if you will, let's stand together, and I'm going to lead us in praying for them as we send them out and commission them, and you get to be a part of that work and ministry as well. So thank you so much for being here. Let me pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these that you've called to go and serve, God, our missionaries. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the work and the ministry that's happening there. God, I pray for our team that God, you'd help them to make all the preparations that need to be had and made, and God, all the packing and all the planning and all those sorts of things. God, give them clarity of mind, give them wisdom, give them direction for those things. Lord, we pray for protection as they travel, pray that flights would go well and everything would be decent and in order. God, it would just be a really smooth time of travel, and everything would be according to your will. Lord, help them to be sensitive to the needs of those around them, God, that they may be a witness as they go. Lord, I pray for safety for the missionaries that will be traveling in and their kids. And God, I just pray for incredible days of ministry. Lord, I pray that as these families leave this time of training and investment in them, God, it will be as if they've just drank water out of the cool part of heaven. God, that their soul has been refreshed. Their soul has been encouraged. I pray that for the children, God. It would be incredible days for them. I pray for great deep bonds, and I pray for a kindred spirit for fellow believers joining together. Lord, I pray you would do a work above everything that we could ask, imagine, or hope for. And Lord, be with them, we pray. Pray your face would be upon them. God, I pray as we leave today that we would give out of the overflow and abundance of what you've done in our life. God, that we would give in a way that is cheerful. And Lord Jesus, just thank you for the opportunity to give. Go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.